Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Michigan is actually on fire. And even though Kansas State didn't have the same kind of fiery offense, still an incredible win for those other Wildcats. Beware of the other Wildcats. Florida State used a deep bench, a steady rotation, 10, 11 guys, their athleticism and their defense to be able to limit Gonzaga. And unfortunately for Gonzaga, Killian Tilly was unable to play, reportedly an injured hip. And he'd been battling that. I think only had 9 points in the first two games for Gonzaga. They'd been able to come back. But in this one, Florida State just kept him at bay, kept him at arm's length the entire time, and really never let them get closer than four in the second half. So they had a big surge toward the end of the first half going into the locker room and never let Gonzaga off the mat. As for Loyola of Chicago, it's just awesome. The Ramblers, they're not going to run you out of the building. They're not going to leap over tall buildings with a single bound. Sister Jean might be able to do that. They're not going to blow you away with their athleticism or their length or their reach like some of these other clubs, like a Kentucky, like a Florida State, as we just talked about. They're just steady and they're disciplined and they stick with the program. And all of that is a credit to the coaching as well as these young men who've bought into it. We can tease, of course, about Sister Jean making a deal with God. And we can try. I've certainly tried in the past to make deals with the Almighty. Doesn't always work. Sometimes he grants your answer to prayer, and sometimes he doesn't. And you don't ever really know why. So there's no real guarantees when you make deals with God, or you attempt to. So this is just about the young men. It's about them having this great chemistry. It's about having the upperclassmen with strong leadership. It's about the trust factor. I love the trust factor that you've seen three different guys come up with game-winning shots now in three consecutive victories. And the Ramblers have won three games by a total of 4 points. Miracles, living on the edge, baby. So they are a great story. But so are the other two teams, the nine seeds that get into the regional finals. Only the fifth and sixth nine seeds ever to make it this far. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and the CBS Sports app. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Hashtag Facepalm Friday, because it's on.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
I don't know if that makes you more inclined to call the show, because you know we're vigilant when it comes to Facepalm Friday. We have heightened senses about what might make a good exhibit for Facepalm Friday, but I'll give you the number anyway. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by GEICO with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. You can switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. It makes me laugh when I see Sister Jean trending on Twitter. And I wonder if people are not as enthralled as I am hearing what she has to say. She's so cute.
And I have to say this. There are too many microphones here.
She's cognizant of the number of microphones, even though she's holding court before and after every game. She's doing interviews every time you turn around. I think it's awesome. She's 98 years old. She's still kicking butt and taking names.
Amen. Amen.
She's all over TV. And she's smiling. That's the great part. You can just see her oozing happiness and joy and peace, just excitement who knows how many more of these NCAA tournament appearances there will be for Loyola Chicago in her lifetime. I mean, think about it. They haven't had this kind of success since 85, and they haven't won a championship since 63. She's waited a long time to see this, and maybe there won't be another opportunity. At some point, she will end up in heaven. But I love seeing her. She reminds me so much of my sweet Grammy Helen every time she smiles. Although Sister Jean is Grammy Helen's elder, because my Grammy doesn't turn 96 for another few weeks. So yes, I love it. I don't have any problem with it at all. And I feel like it's something that always with major sporting events, there are other storylines. It's not just about the X's and O's, the stats, the win, the loss, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Always has human interest stories, always has hearts involved, right? And people who've worked their rear ends off to get to this point. In the case of the Ramblers, miracle moments. I mean, we get to be straight out fans in rooting for underdogs like this because the improbable is happening game after game after game. And so I like the fact that we get to know a little bit about these teams and what got them to this point. And certainly a major part of that is Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt, who was giving her own post-game interview about the game between the Ramblers and the Wolfpack of Nevada.
Nevada did play an excellent game. There's no question about it. Made our team pull up to them, and we did it. And for a nice little school like ours, we are just so proud of them, and we have every reason to be, and we'll continue to do that.
I mean, how many other 98-year-old scouts have you ever met in your lifetime? Let's be honest. And for her to just to now be known, maybe even more than some of the players on her team, who, let's face it, have had the huge moments on the court. And so adorable how after every game, they go up and give her a hug. I wonder if they're required to do that after every game, not just tournament games. You can tell they love her. I mean, she's with them all the time. She's a part-time scout, part-time coach, and full-time chaplain. And you can tell they really love her. The smiles that they come over to the sideline with when the games are over and have a chance to greet her. I mean, there's like 8 million cameras. I've even seen videos now of these kids coming off the court and instantly after the hug line is done to her wheelchair, then you've got the videos all over the internet. And so why not? You're 98 years old. Clearly, this is the first opportunity for her to have this kind of recognition because the last time Loyola Chicago was in the spotlight for its men's basketball team, there was no social media and we didn't have the kind of access, nor do we care nearly as much. There weren't four channels broadcasting the NCAA tournament. And so I say, as long as you've got the microphones in your face, Sister Jean, you might as well talk.
I can just imagine how the excitement is on campus because we had watch parties all over today. We had them all over the country today because we were so excited about this game. So I know the momentum is growing. It's a great feat for Loyola University, for Chicago, and for the world, because they have respect for little teams that do this well. And I don't put the big teams down, but they have certain advantages that we don't have. And it's just so exciting. I can imagine how campus is now. But of course, we're going to stay here till Saturday.
She's just so positive and uplifting and enthusiastic. And boy, oh boy, does a 98-year-old speak well. My grandmother, she can have great conversations, but she also has hearing problems. So she likely couldn't put together that composed of, I mean, she could talk to you, obviously, but not with all those cameras in her face. She'd get nervous. Her hearing aids, they pick up all this extra sound. I mean, for a 98-year-old to be that with it and to be able to go through all of this excitement to be an ambassador for not just her little school, as she calls it, but for college basketball around the world, again, as she points out, I think that's fantastic. When I was younger, I think most people who are younger, they don't necessarily have a great respect for older people, you just look at them and they're old, right? I mean, sometimes you think they're slow. I can remember my mom yelled at me once because I was probably still in high school tailgating, and I was tailgating an old person, and she was all mad at me. You need to respect the old people. Someday you'll be old. And I was like, whatever, mom, because I said that a lot. I said whatevs. Well, I didn't say whatevs. I said whatever a lot. It very dismissive of me. I was a sassafras, and she's right. If we are fortunate enough to get to be 98 years old, my goal is 100. My goal for my Grammy is 100. She keeps telling me, stop it, that she'll be too tired by then. If we're fortunate enough to live lives here on Earth to 98 years old, it's a lot of wisdom. It's a lot of experience. It's so many stories that we could share. But you know what? There are times where the world is too fast and it passes you by and you kind of feel forgotten. My grandma is getting ready to move, actually. Next week is moving day, and she'll be leaving the town where she's lived for 70 years. But I'm happy for her because she's moving into an assisted living facility, and she'll have more company around her. I worry about her. She sits in her little apartment in snowy Wisconsin, and there are days where she will go and she won't see anyone else. And that can happen. It can happen to elderly people in our society. And so the ones who are so vibrant and have so much left to offer, like a sister Jean, I think it's great that we're hearing from her. And she is, as I said, holding court. She is killing it, which is awesome. Yay, God. And yay, sister Jean. So our phone number is 855-212-4227. Like I said, we're going to have Facepalm Friday. I'd love to hear your thoughts, too, on what we've got in March Madness to this point. There are some other stories, some other basketball storylines and history in the NBA. Kemba Walker, not that anybody noticed if you were wrapped up in college hoops, but Kemba Walker put on a show. Oh, and Dwight Howard was suspended, so he couldn't have a 30-30 game. Johnny Manziel tried to put on a show as well for 13 NFL teams that showed up to his, I don't know if I should call it a pro day.
His inappropriate.
It might be inappropriate. He's had many pro days and they didn't go well, but he's attempting to start over again. So he's hit the reset button, and at least 13 teams sent representatives. Funny though, the only one I actually heard named was the Patriots. I thought that was interesting. I guess anything the Patriots do in terms of personnel, anything Bill Belichick would do in terms of personnel is news. And that would be quite a story if they brought him on board, even if it was just for a summer contract and training camp. That would be quite a story. So 13 teams, which is not quite half, but a third, a little more than a third of the NFL sending representatives to watch. I bet some of that was curiosity, but some of that may have been legit. I can't speak for those teams, but Johnny Manziel did speak for himself. And so you'll hear that too.
Thanks. He just lost his liquor license.
Let's hope. Let's hope he's lost his liquor license and his taste for liquor. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Here's Johnny.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Sadly, all of those things actually did happen. All of those calls actually were placed to the show. We don't make any of this up. It's all authentic, genuine, original sound. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. If you're wondering what Facepalm Friday is all about, like my friend Jerry Palm, who was listening to the show yesterday morning when he was up headed to the airport. You know him. He's the bracketologist and also the guy who understands what the College Football Playoff Committee is going to do before it actually happens. He's the math guy. And he heard me talk about Facepalm Friday and said, what? Is that for me? Is that after me? I can't believe I'm not involved. That's right. He wanted to know why we had named a segment after him. And I told him it's probably not the kind of segment that you want to be involved in. You prefer to avoid Facepalm Friday, but it is fun. It's all in good fun. It's never meant to be serious or really, it's never meant to do anything besides tease. And to that end, I want you to know that I can make fun of myself, too. This will be the first time that your host has made an appearance on Facepalm Friday, but I deserve it after what happened a couple of nights ago.
facetious, flaky, and farcical.
We're morons.
Checking out the fallacious feedback of the week. It's time for Face Palm Friday.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I love the fact that you all are embracing your breast, your, here's what almost came out of my mouth, your breasted bucket. You could interpret Amy Lawrence, right? You know what that is. Your breasted bucket. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. This is what happens when you work a 15, 16-hour day into a night of 4 hours consecutive talking on the radio. I'm going to tweet that, a breasted bucket, and see how many people have any idea what I'm talking about who aren't actually listening to the show.
Braised buckshanks?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so weird. All right, it's After Hours on Facebook. That's the name of the show. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm going to get it together here. Don't you worry.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
See, it happens to me too. And I did follow that up with a tweet, and I would like you to know that very few people understood what a breasted bucket was. I got some really cute responses though, so thanks for that. I just said to the guys that you could put the host in Facepalm Friday, see what I mean? Pretty much every week, your breasted bucket, because I say the dumbest crap every single week. And it's not because I don't know what I'm talking about. It's because I get things jumbled up. My brain and mouth are not on the same page. It happens all the time. It's weird. I can't really explain it other than to say my mouth is speaking one particular thing, but my brain is already moving on to the next thought.
I don't want nobody to try to split us up.
That's right. Brain and mouth should never be split up. But this is what happens. My brain is already moving on to the next thought, the segue, where I'm going once I finish this particular thought with my mouth. And so sometimes brain is on one topic, mouth is on another, or two different words, and they come together a little bit like that. That's probably not even the funniest one that I've ever done before when I get my signals crossed and get my syllables crossed. But breasted bucket, that's a pretty good one. And I think it's fairly symbolic considering how jumbled up this whole March Madness tournament has been. I mean, if Loyola Chicago as an 11 seed can be in the Elite Eight, if we can have two nines in the Elite Eight for the first time together, your breasted bucket, well then your bucket probably is breasted. So, you know, it's fitting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So we'll let you hear from Johnny Manziel coming up a little bit later on, about 10 minutes from now, actually. And before the end of this hour, the best news that you could ask for from the NHL. It was an awesome announcement that was made on Thursday night. So we'll let you hear that specifically. That's all I'm going to say. You don't want to miss that. And then as we head toward our next update, maybe I'll steal some of Jay Berman's thunder and talk about a little history in the NBA, because we had, and I don't know, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, did it actually happen? If Kemba Walker goes off and makes NBA history, but everybody's watching March Madness, did it actually happen? Of course it did.
Lamb comes up into front court, guarded by Evans at the top. Gets a screen from Hernan Gomez, passes back to Kemba, fakes the three. Brooks says, not again. Hernan Gomez gets it back to Kemba for three. Good! 6 3-pointers for Kemba Walker, who has the Hornets team record with 9. Kemba going to the left, stops, turns right to Lamb. Lamb takes it down the lane, passes to Kemba. 3-pointer from the left. Good!
Wow.
Kemba Walker, he's hit 9, tied his own record. 9 out of 12, 12 out of 15 from the floor, 41 points. Kemba camps for 3. It's on its way. Number 10!
Unbelievable.
Kemba Walker, 10 three-pointers, timeout on the court. Nice way for him to exit the action.
That's Steve Martin with the call on the Hornets radio network. They were playing the Memphis Grizzlies, by the way, but the Grizzlies were really irrelevant in this game, and I'll get to that. Kemba sets a new personal record, a new franchise record with 10 made triples, 10 for 14 on threes, 10 for 10 from the charity stripe. Oh, the Kentucky Wildcats could have used some of that free throw shooting. He becomes just the third player in league history to make at least 10 three-pointers and 10 free throws in a game. Joe Dumars did it first in 1994. Kyrie Irving last did it in 2015. So it's Dumars, Irving, and now Kemba Walker. And Kemba, by the way, is a graduate of UConn. He was part of their national championship run one crazy year where they just caught fire at the right time, and Kemba was amazing. He's got his own wall. Wherever the College Basketball Hall of Fame is, he's got his own wall. And certainly in Springfield could have a wall there too. But he's a guy that can just catch fire. And this is not the only time. It's unfortunate that he's played for a team that, you know, is hit or miss. It's a team that needs to put more pieces around him for sure. Dwight Howard just had a 30-30 game, but he was suspended because he had gotten his 16th technical foul this season, which requires an automatic suspension. So it was up to Kemba to do everything. But I have to say, this is crazy enough. If you took the 46 points that Kemba Walker scored tonight off the table, if Kemba didn't play and didn't hit 1-3, do you know the Hornets still would have beaten the Grizzlies by double figures? That's how bad this was. So here's the other piece of history. The Hornets' final score against Memphis was 140 to 79. 140 to 79. Just side note, the Toronto Raptors scored 79 in the first half against Cleveland two nights ago. So this was an incredible rout, 61 points. A friend of mine who works for the Memphis Grizzlies sent me a text that said, this is embarrassing. I mean, that pretty much sums it up. And I get it. Memphis has got one of the worst records in the NBA, and it's a bunch of young guys, and maybe they're having a hard time still caring. But for heaven's sakes, for pride, for your paycheck, for your future job, something. Show a little resistance. Cleveland had a 68-point win against Miami in 1991. Indiana beat Portland by 65 in the late 90s. And then the Lakers routed Golden State by 63 in 72. They did a couple of wins by 62 points in NBA history, but that's it. Only a handful of games have ever had this wide of a margin, 61 points. So like I said, you take Kemba's 46 out of it and that big, huge smile of his, you take him out of the equation, and it's still a 15-point win. I mean, that's embarrassing for the Grizzlies, but great for the Hornets and great for Kemba Walker for him to have this kind of moment.
Take that for data.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of data in there that you could compile just based on Kemba and how bad the Grizzlies were. The Hornets are still technically alive for the Eastern Conference playoffs, but they're six games back of the Bucks, who are right now in eighth place. And most teams have just about 9 or 10 games left to go in the regular season, so it's a tall order. Okay, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, you can definitely use the hashtag Facepalm Friday if you have something to contribute to the equation.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I'm sure that this song is not about Johnny Manziel. I'm confident. Considering his past, we're trying to bridge to the future. But just to remind you, in case you've forgotten, what derailed Manziel's career in the first place. He was drafted in the first round by the Cleveland Browns. Do you all remember the text on draft day? Draft me, bro, something like that, and we'll wreck this league together. That was a text that he sent to someone in the Cleveland Browns front office. He talked about it at the time. It was an assistant coach. Come get me, man. We'll wreck this league. Well, maybe. Here's the major question mark about Johnny Manziel. Maybe it would have been better than it was if he had actually focused on his career, if he had stayed in Cleveland instead of jetting off to Vegas, if he had not shown up to work hungover, if he had taken the playbook seriously, maybe we would have seen more of his potential. Now, I don't know if that's the case. Maybe we saw it. Maybe that's what sent him into a downward spiral. He realized he didn't have it. 15 career games for him in the Cleveland Browns system. 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Now, it's difficult to evaluate a QB that's playing on a bad team. And let's face it, they were not a great team. Cycling through quarterbacks all the time. So it's hard to evaluate. But he did have multiple opportunities, and he squandered them. But here he is, a couple years later, says he's clean and sober, and he wants another opportunity. And on Thursday, Manziel worked out in San Diego. It was actually the University of San Diego Pro Day, and they invited him to be a stand-in QB. So while 13 NFL teams showed up, maybe some of them were there for the receivers he was throwing to. Maybe. Maybe
you
they were there.
Classy, San Diego.
Maybe they were there out of curiosity. I don't have any idea. But I did see that a listener on Twitter sent me a link. Kevin sent me a link. Thank you, Kevin. That listed all the teams that were on hand. And again, the story says to watch Manziel throw. But there were actually other players there. This was the University of San Diego's pro day. It wasn't Johnny Manziel's pro day. So he got invited by them. I feel like that's a bit of a spin on it. Because you don't know that all of those teams were there to watch Manziel throw. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Jack, we'll get to you before the top of the hour. Thank you so much for listening. What was the point of Manziel going out there and throwing in San Diego on Thursday?
I know I've rubbed people the wrong way. I know there's people that, you know, still doubt what I'm doing and still doubt where I'm at, because for me, I've had spurts in the past of being good. You know, I've had spurts in the past of, you know, showing promise and like I'm on the right path. And then right when I think I get there, something else happens. And it's like kind of the pattern that it's been in the past couple years of my life, especially since college. So for me, the key right now is just be consistent and continue to do what I'm doing day in and day out. And hopefully after, you know, a year of solid, you know, behavior, of solid workout regimen over the last year, now transferring into the 3 months of this year, I feel like if I can parlay in that into enough months and enough time, people will be able to buy into that and be able to trust what I'm doing again, and that I'm not just trying to, you know, pull a fast one to try and get back in the NFL.
I mean, that's the deal. It's a trust issue. How do you trust him? How do you know that it's going to be any different? He says all the right things. But he said all the right things before. A lot. He cried wolf a ton. And a team believed him. And then believed him some more. And then believed him some more. He got multiple opportunities to start. I hope he's gotten clean. Forget the football side of things. For his family's sake. For his mom's sake. For heaven's sakes. I hope that he's gotten clean. That he's no longer in that dark place, that dangerous place where you were kind of worried that a police blotter was going to pop up in the middle of the night indicating that he'd been found in a ditch. That was a very real possibility. And so the fact that he's even participating in football activities is a great sign. If nothing else, he's healthy enough to throw a football. The Browns, the Patriots, the Bears, the Chargers, the Giants, the Chiefs, the Jets, the Raiders, the Titans, the Lions, the Jaguars, the Panthers, and the Buccaneers were on hand for the University of San Diego Pro Day, which featured Manziel attempting 38 passes. Not quite the steady rain that Sam Darnold had the day before at the USC Pro Day. However, it was raining. And he's an athletic guy. He's lanky. He can move. We've always known he could move. That was how he stayed alive when he was at Texas A&M. That's how he won a Heisman. But what kind of arm strength? What kind of decision-making? And let's face it, the jury was still out on him as a quarterback, even when he was in the NFL. After 2 years out, with everything he's put his physical body through, is he worth the risk? I'd love to hear your thoughts on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I think part of the process is that Manziel recognizes that.
I think I've changed drastically. I obviously had to hit a series of lows to get to a point where I feel comfortable in my own skin and my own life and with where I'm at. So a lot has changed personally in what I've learned about myself and what I've learned about life through the highs and the lows. So I don't necessarily think I would be where I am today without going through some of the harder stuff. But, you know, I feel like I'm a better person because of it, even if it, you know, it derailed where I wanted to do for a while.
Again, all of that's way more important than football. I joke about him sometimes. I did a lot more when he was in the NFL. And I'm being dead serious about the finding him in a ditch part. I felt like that was a pretty real possibility for a while. The most important thing is that he's healthy. The guy's only 25 years old. And with the drug crisis and the drug epidemic in our country, it's good that he has come out the other side. I don't know about the football part of it. Again, he had multiple opportunities. 15 games, which is more than a lot of people get, more than a lot of starts that quarterbacks are given some of the younger QBs. As a first-round draft pick, obviously the Browns were hoping that he could light it up, and Jimmy Haslam was a big part of that, believing Manziel would bring a built-in fan base to Cleveland and that there would be some excitement, some attention, some hype around the guy. Unfortunately, it blew up in the Browns' faces, the front office faces. The jury's still out on him as a QB. Forget whether or not he can stay clean. And this may not be fair, but life isn't fair. The Browns have been burdened in the past by guys that they took chances on. How many years have they had to wait for Josh Gordon? Again, hopefully he's clean and he's kicked his demons, he's kicked his addictions, but they had to wait a long time for him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's do one quick call here. Charles is in College Station, Texas. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Well, first of all, there's two things I want to comment on, Amy, and one is thank you for bringing your grandmother and her older sister to the radio, because they're great role models for young guys like me. I'm only 74.
There you go.
I hope I can be as cool and suave as they are. The other thing about Johnny Manziel, of course, I was here when he was here playing too, and he was an unprecedented quarterback. I've seen a lot of college quarterbacks in my day. He was probably the best one, but he just couldn't grasp the reality of what he was facing and what his opportunities were. He thought everything would be handed to him and all that, and he acted that way. And it's too bad, and I hope he does take a chance and take it seriously. Mm. He said this before, but I know he's got the talent. I'm not sure what he's got between his ears.
That's a good point. I mean, he says all the right things, as you talk about, but and maybe the fact that he hit rock bottom and he lost everything, maybe that makes this a little more serious to him, as in, I may never get another chance. In fact, he may have squandered them all. But if he does get another one, you would think he would take it more seriously, carrying it around like it's $1 million in gold or something.
Well, we've seen him before, and we've heard him before. Let's hope he's got some grit in his guts. I'm rooting for him. Mm.
All right, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for weighing in from the home of Texas A&M
You're
Conversation.
You're most welcome, and thanks for introducing your Grammy and her older sister.
She is older. That's nice. My Grammy doesn't know any people who are older than her, except for one friend she's known since fourth grade, and her friend is like 4 months older than her, so the two of them are peas in a pod.
Wonderful.
Yeah, they're
that's
cute.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Charles.
I'm listening to more of your great shows.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, one of my grandma's grade school friends is still alive and is just a few months older, so they tease each other over that. I'd love to hear what you think. Would you want your team to give Johnny Manziel a roster spot after everything he's been through? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I promised you the best news of the day coming out of the NHL. I'm not going to spoil it. I want you to hear it directly from Eddie Olczyk, who is a former NHL player himself, also part of NBC Sports and the Blackhawks broadcast team. And that's actually what he was doing on Thursday night. He was part of a broadcast of Canucks and Blackhawks.
Well, I'm proud to say that I did have my final scan after the chemo treatment, Pat, and I'm proud to stand here before everybody and you, my partner and my friend, that all the cancer is gone, and we beat this thing. And I say we because it has been a team effort, not only from the great doctors, but from this organization, from Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, Jay Blunt, Coach Q, hockey operations, these great trainers, our broadcasters, you partner for all the texts and the visits daily, the National Hockey League, all my friends and my family, my brothers, Ricky and Randy, my mom and dad, and, of course, my four kids, Eddie, Tommy, Sandra, Nikki, and my beautiful wife, Diana. If it wasn't for them, there's no way I could have got through this. So I believe is that we all beat this, and I'm so thankful for all the support and prayers, and they worked, and I'm proud to stand here before everybody and let them know that we beat this thing.
That's amazing news. And Eddie Olczyk is a fixture in the NHL. Not only did he play, but he coached for a short stint with a couple of different teams. And as I pointed out, and as you hear him, he's on the broadcast on NBC Sports, Canucks and Blackhawks. He's the color analyst. And he was diagnosed with colon cancer last summer. Really did shake the NHL community and had surgery and went through months of treatment and has been told that his scans were clear and he is now cancer-free, which is awesome. Great victory. Survivor will now be the most important thing that you can put next to the name of Eddie Olczyk. All right, we're halfway through. Love to hear from you. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. 855-212-4227. March Madness is back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.